Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time we welcome you to WKAR's current sports on this Monday, June 10th, 2019. I hope all of you are well out there. I trust that you had a great weekend. Saturday was beautiful. Sunday just showers the entire day. So Sunday was one of those days where you just, you know, want to just stay inside and watch TV, watch Netflix, you know, have a movie day, really. And today looks much like the same. You know, it's a bit cool today. Highs in the 60s. You know, I as you see, for those watching on our live stream right now, I'm rocking a hoodie. It's a bit cool out there, you know? We were in the 80s throughout the start of last week, and now we're in the 60s. Folks, that is the bipolar Michigan weather. All right? So it's June 10th, and today is a big day in the world of sports because if it shakes out this way, we could be seeing the end of a dynasty in the National Basketball Association, one of the most coveted dynasties in the history of the NBA. That being the Golden State Warriors, who are staring at a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals. I certainly didn't predict that. Not many people did. I actually chose Golden State to win this series in 6 games. That's out the window now, and they will need to force a game 7 in order to have a chance of pulling out the improbable comeback against Toronto. I don't think that's happening. We of course are going to preview that game during segment B. All right, got some strong thoughts on that game, including the possibility that Kevin Durant may suit up and hit the floor tonight in Toronto. All right? So we'll get to that. We'll of course, have plenty of NBA Finals chatter. I do, though, want to comment on a former Michigan men's basketball player who had a pretty good career and just a really unfortunate situation. Really unfortunate, seeing as though the NBA draft is right around the corner. Something happened during one of his workouts that I want to chat about. I just want to touch on that, okay? And then on the back end of the show, we'll have weekend winners for you, where I'll take an extended look, a broader look, I should say, in the world of sports, and I want to hammer home a few points there. How about the Boston Bruins forcing a Game 7 last night in the Stanley Cup Finals? Quite impressive. Again, those are the two greatest words in sports, right? Game 7. It doesn't get better than that. Also, the Firekeepers Casino 400 has been pushed to today because of weather. I'll have more on that as well. A lot of things I want to highlight today because it was just a very busy weekend in sports, all right? We'll, of course, invite you all beautiful people to be a part of the hour. Multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can watch our current sports live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below that video. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show. at WKAR News. Connor Mathis is the man behind the glass, and we now push you toward our current sports quick hit headliners. Start here, the Eaton Rapids softball team. I want to give a big congratulations to them as they secured a second consecutive regional championship on Saturday with a 5-2 victory over honorable mention ranked Chelsea in a Division II final. Quite remarkable, the program that has been built at Eaton Rapids High School when it comes to the softball team. But I also want to give mad props to the Eaton Rapids baseball team as well, even though they are now eliminated from postseason contention. Still, one remarkable season for the Greyhounds, folks. And, you know, there's a really great piece written up by Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer of the Lansing State Journal, entitled "Young Eaton Rapids Baseball Laid It on the Line While Reaching Historic Accomplishment." And he just kind of details the season that ER Baseball was able to have, you know, holding the regional championship trophy, which was absolutely awesome. This Eaton Rapids baseball team also had quite the season. So congratulations to both the baseball and the softball teams. Remarkable year that keeps on keeping on for the Eaton Rapids softball squad. All right. Number one overall seed UCLA was upset by the Michigan Wolverines in their deciding game 3 to take the series. And now the Wolverines are headed to the College World Series. Are you kidding me? The Wolverines stole game 1 of the Los Angeles Super Regional by a 3-2 final, but some costly Michigan errors allowed the Bruins to claim game 2, a really close matchup there, 5-4. That one went to extras. The Bruins were looking to become the first number one overall seed to reach the College World Series after falling into the loser's bracket of the regional, but fell to U of M, 4-2 in the rubber match. Now, it will be the 46-20 Wolverines' 8th College World Series appearance, but first since 1984. That's when Barry Larkin was a member of the team. It is also the first time since Indiana in 2013 that the Big Ten has had a team advance to Omaha. So what a year for the Michigan Wolverines on the baseball field. I know there's a lot of current sports fans out there who listen here locally here in East Lansing who are not happy about this. How do I know? Well, naturally, because you guys are Spartan fans and you all were commenting on our Facebook page just about all of the back end of last week's current sports. Commenting on the Facebook page saying, go Bruins, go UCLA. But congratulations to the Wolverines. That is quite the accomplishment. All right, some bad news, though, for the Maize and Blue. Really unfortunate stuff here, and I don't care, you know, where your fandom lies. I know that you have, if you're human, you got to have some sympathy here. As former Michigan wing Charles Matthews, he tore his ACL on Saturday during a pre-draft workout with the NBA's Boston Celtics. His agent confirmed the news with the Detroit Free Press and told ESPN that Matthews will have surgery in Chicago, which is his hometown. This is what his agent, Adam Pensack, told ESPN. Quote, injuries are tough, but Charles is an extremely hard worker and will be back stronger than ever. He had a series of outstanding workouts lately.
and has helped himself. Charles will continue that momentum when he returns to action. As of now, we have interest in the second round as Charles is okay signing a two-way contract like Edmund Sumner did with the Indiana Pacers in 2017. Connor, I'm going to have to go behind the glass for you for this one, man. Maybe you could look up. I don't know, you know, that final part of that quote when it comes to Adam Pinsak, the agent of Charles Matthews. Are you familiar at all with Edmund Sumner? I'm not either. So let's look that up and see what happened with that. I guess a two-way contract. I'm assuming that it's similar to what Charles Matthews did or is trying to do. You know, he gets injured and now has to, you know, see if a team out there is willing to still bank on him and his potential now that he has to recover with this ACL injury. And an ACL injury usually takes about 9 months to heal. So we'll look up that and we'll go back behind the glass later on with Connor. Oh, do you have something?
Yeah, all basically happened was he was taken in the second round and then just immediately put on a two-way contract, meaning he was sent down to the D League and then worked his way up. He says he's still technically under their contract, but he's with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants of the G League.
Gotcha. And did he get injured?
It's not saying that he got injured. It just says he got taken in the second round.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll see. Again, we're wishing Charles Matthews the best. That's always just a tough situation, especially. The NBA draft is just weeks away, and then something like this happens. Okay, when it comes to the Michigan football team, Michigan is very heavy on our headliners today. Michigan now has 10 commitments to the 2020 class with the Sunday commitment of Lake Braddock, high tight end. Tight end Matthew Hibner. This is a quote coming from Twitter, quote, "I am extremely excited to announce that I am 100% committed to the University of Michigan, thanks to every coach who believed in me and recruited me." Now, Hibner is the number 19 player in Virginia, so I'm guessing that you know this brother a little bit, Connor. Number 40 tight end in the nation, according to 247 Sports, three-star prospect. Hibner visited Michigan over the weekend. How familiar are you with him? From that area?
I haven't heard of this guy, but I know Lake Braddock, when I was in school, kicked our teeth in football. They were really, really good, so it does not surprise me.
Mm. So they breed some pretty good players out there.
Yeah, they got some good talent on all athletics pretty much.
Gotcha. So he's a three-star. So we'll see what happens once he steps on the Ann Arbor campus. All right. Connor Cook, folks, we got some news concerning the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State football history. We can say that, right? Connor Cook has been waived by the Detroit Lions. Yeah, in April, Bob Quinn was championing Connor Cook as a quarterback with, quote, immense talent. And today, Quinn showed Cook the door. The Lions have waived Cook and signed David Fowles to their number three quarterback, or Fails. I mean, I'm just really messing up some names here. Connor's in my ear like, no, Al, this Fails. I don't know who David Fails is anyway.
Only know him because he was on the Dolphins last year.
So that's the only, yeah. I
yep.
So Fails, you said?
Fails.
Fails.
Very suitable name.
Very suitable name for an athlete, right? Fails. That's not a bad omen at all. But he is now the Detroit Lions' number three quarterback for training camp. I'm going to double back to this story. Because this story broke, like, I want to say, like, not even 2 hours ago. And I want to make some points when it concerns the career of Connor Cook. All right? So I'll get to that later on. I probably reserve that for weekend winners, or in this case, weekend losers. All right? The Detroit Tigers, speaking of losers, the Detroit Tigers closed out their series against the Minnesota Twins in embarrassing fashion, losing 12-2. Yes, 12-2, a complete shellacking at the hands of the Twins yesterday. So next up for the Tigers is a trip to Kansas City to take on the Royals. That series begins tomorrow at 8:15 p.m. But the Twins take 2 of 3 against the Detroit Tigers over the weekend set. And this news is very disturbing. I saw this late last night. Former Boston Red Sox superstar, Big Poppy, David Ortiz. He was hospitalized to treat injuries sustained via gunshot wound following an incident in the Dominican Republic on Sunday. His family And the Red Sox confirmed that. And Ney Aldrin Bautista Almonte, Dominican National Police Director, announced that Ortiz is in stable condition following emergency surgery. So he is in stable condition right now. It's not critical. He is recovering. This is coming from former Red Sox infielder Will Middlebrooks. He said this morning on CBS Sports HQ after speaking to Ortiz's wife, Tiffany, quote, "Ortiz's family got back to me this morning, stable, recovering. It looks like everything is going to be okay. As it looks right now, surgery went well from what I'm being told. He's got a little bit of recovery ahead of him, but he's going to be okay." So that is some good news coming out of a very unfortunate situation. David Ortiz, again, shot in the DR on Sunday. Okay, and recovering now in stable condition. All right, Detroit Pistons will play in Mexico City. That's right, the NBA will play two regular season games in Mexico City this upcoming year. The Dallas Mavericks will face the Detroit Pistons on December 12th at Arena Ciudad de México. Oh, boy, did I miss that? Oh, man. Connor, you should have just read the headliner today. Ciudad? Say that?
Ciudad.
Ciudad. Did you, like, do, like, a little pronunciation bit of, guide before we start today's current sports? How do you know that? How do you know
little
that?
A little bit of Spanish in, like, high school, and I know a little bit of Portuguese from when I was little. So, and Spanish and Portuguese are fairly similar. So.
See, next time he's got to write these phonetically for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean usually you're pretty good with ones on the Western Hemisphere. So when we get into, like, Eastern in Europe, you start having problems, but man, I don't know what's up today.
Yeah, just write it phonetically for me next time. So thank you for that pronunciation, Connor. I don't even know what I just said when I came across that name. I just said, let me just take my best stab at it. The Phoenix Suns will face the San Antonio Spurs 2 days later. The games will be the 29th and the 30th in Mexico since 1992, the most in any country outside the United States and Canada. It's the fourth straight year the NBA will play two regular season games in Mexico City. And many of you saw this news play out yesterday. The Firekeepers Casino 400 at Michigan International Speedway was postponed until 5 p.m. today as rain wiped out any progress in drying the track. MIS doesn't have lights, meaning the race would have needed to start by approximately 6 p.m. to be run in its entirety. Last year's June race at MIS was shortened by rain, with Clint Bowyer winning after 133 laps. The race is official after 120 laps. The August race in 07 was postponed by rain for two full days until Tuesday. That race was won by Team Penske driver Kurt Busch. So, again, it's postponed until 5 p.m. today. As you know, it's been raining since yesterday here in Michigan. Okay, Stanley Cup was in the building on Sunday night as the St. Louis Blues hosted the Boston Bruins for Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final in St. Louis. But it wasn't meant to be, as the Bruins won 5-1 to force the two greatest words in sports, Game 7. Now, both teams will have a chance to win it all back in Boston come Wednesday. I love that. I love that. I love that. You know, that's how every season should end when it comes to the series format. It should end in a deciding Game 7. I love that. All right. With a 105-92 victory last Friday, the Toronto Raptors are now just one win away from bringing home their first Larry O. Meanwhile, the Warriors will attempt what has only been done one other time in NBA history, overcoming a 3-1 finals deficit. We all know who accomplished that. That was LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who came back after being buried 3-1 in the NBA Finals, one of the greatest comebacks in NBA history. And, you know, Game 7, right, I said, is the two greatest words in sports. That is what the Warriors are hoping to accomplish here, forcing a Game 7. And they have to if they want to have any shot of winning the series, right? So, tip time, 9 p.m. tonight in Jurassic Park. And according to Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant is a game-time decision for tonight's game. He did practice with the team yesterday, but I got some points I want to make when it comes to that practice. All right, we'll talk NBA Finals in segment two. Until then, we're going to usher you into a conversation concerning Charles Matthews. But before we do that, our phone lines are open. I want to remind you of that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hear from you guys. How'd your weekend go? You know, what'd you watch on the tube sports-wise over the weekend? Or even just, you know, just what'd you do over the weekend? You know, I mean, it was a great day on Saturday, but it was a rainy one on Sunday. Want to hear from you guys. Love chatting it up with the current sports team. The current sports team. Gotta love the current sports team. Also, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here we go. Gents, boys, and girls, you are locked into WKAR's current sports. Again, I hope you had a great weekend. You know, for me, it was pretty chill. Pretty chill. Didn't do much. Watched a lot of TV. Worked out one time. Really relaxed. I actually, for the first time, Connor, I'm ashamed to admit this, but wow, what a film. What a film it is. I saw, you know, and I mentioned this on Friday during our Reflection Friday segment. You know, I gave a shout out to Denzel Washington, my favorite actor of all time, who received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the American Film Institute. They're actually going to air that ceremony later on this month, June. It shows you how big of a fan I am of Denzel. June 20th, they're going to air that on TNT. I can't wait to watch it. I've seen so many clips, though, online already out there. But, you know, what the role that put Denzel on the map was Glory. I don't know if you've seen Glory. I've never seen Glory until Saturday night. Can you believe that? Saturday night.
No, that's a great movie.
It's unbelievable. And you know, I just never, you know, I'm not big. I must admit, I'm not big into the, you know, like the old-timey war movies. I love, like Saving Private Ryan, like the modern-day war films. Black Hawk Down, I love that film. Full Frontier on Netflix. I watched that the other day. That was amazing. But like the old timey, like 1800s war films where you just kind of line up and they just shoot, you know what I mean? And then they walk a few steps and then line up and say, all right, shoot. Like I've never been into those films. And that's what Glory, that's like the time period that Glory takes place. But there's so many good actors in it. Like also Morgan Freeman's in it as well. But I see why that was Denzel's breakout film. Like he was so good in that role. And then, you know, can I say spoiler alert? I mean, this movie came out in the 80s, right?
So if you haven't seen it, I mean,
come on, man. That's how I feel. So if you said anything about a movie that, you know, debuted in the 80s, I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here saying spoiler alert. So I don't even know if you can call this a spoiler alert. But there's a part where Denzel is getting whipped. And, you know, he kind of just stares into the camera and, you know, you see him tearing up and, oh, my goodness, that part got me, dude. So an amazing film. So I watched Glory one Saturday. You know, I watched a bit of the Stanley Cup Finals last night. You know, and like I said, worked out. Didn't do much this weekend. What'd you do this weekend, Connor?
Sounds about the same. I really didn't do too much. Right. I was telling you the other week that on Xbox they brought back, they have NHL for free.
Okay.
So I got that. I made I think 8 or 9 teams.
Nice.
Just created them, and then I've just been messing around playing that.
So bottom line, you're going to be a hockey expert playing that
game.
Oh,
yeah, no, this is how I'm going to learn hockey. This is how I learned football. This is how basketball I actually learned playing it. But football I learned playing Madden. So
right.
By the end of the summer, hopefully I will be hockey literate.
I hear you. No, I hear you, man. That's how I learned sports, too, playing video games. That was my introduction. And thank goodness. Who says video games aren't good for you, right?
I will say, though, I still don't know what the heck offsides is in NHL. My roommate is a hockey fan, and there's been like a couple times where I've been like on a tag and I get called for offsides, and I'm just like, how is that offsides? I don't understand it at all. Well, he's trying to explain like three or four times, so
yeah, I would be bad at explaining it naturally. I kind of have an idea, but I don't want to embarrass myself. I've done that enough in the headliners. I'm not going down that
vague. I have
anymore.
A vague idea too, so. But like, there's a couple of times where I'm like, "That's not offsides." My roommate's like, "No, that's offsides."
Yeah,
that's frustrating.
Well, I'm sure one of our current sports listeners out there right now are just shaking their head, saying, "What? You don't know what offsides mean in hockey?" So maybe they can call up and help us out. But cool, chill weekend then. Chill weekend. But you know, my stomach turned a bit, Connor. You know, when I read this headline over the weekend. And that is the fact that Charles Matthews, who had a very good, a pretty solid Michigan men's basketball career, he has torn his ACL during a workout on Saturday. You know, he completed his redshirt junior season, his second with Michigan in March. He averaged 12.2 points, 5 rebounds per game. And he announced his decision to enter the draft, foregoing a potential final collegiate season back in April. And like I noted during the headliners, I mean, when you tear an ACL in sports, the average recovery time is somewhere around 9 months. So he injured himself working out, as you heard in our headliners, working out for the Boston Celtics, and he was considered as a second-round pick. The draft is, what, 10 days away? June 20th is the draft. And this happens. And, you know, for me, Connor, you know, I look at this story and say, okay, Charles Matthews is a player who he decided to, and oh, by the way, real quick here before I go on this rant, David commented on our he has commented on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews and given you a full rundown.
Oh, good.
Offsides
good.
In hockey. All right. So read that
all
at
right.
your own leisure.
I need it.
He needs it. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. But you know, Charles Matthews, a player who decided to, you know, go to the NBA and forgo that final year of eligibility for the University of Michigan men's basketball program, the deadline passed. I feel like there should be some exceptions to that deadline for a situation like this. This is one of those situations that you look at and you say, wow. I mean, you got to feel for this young man. You know, he's set on making an NBA team. He's doing all these workouts and 11 days. 11, what happened on Saturday, so 12 days, 10 days now away from the NBA draft, this young man tears his ACL, and his basketball dreams get flipped upside down. Now, I'm a guy, too, who says that, look, man, life ain't fair. You know, you got to live with the decisions that you make. But, you know, this is a situation that you just, you got to feel for Charles Matthews with. You know, this whole deadline of, okay, when this date passes, I don't know why, Connor, and I've argued this many, many times. I don't know why it has to be a one-way street, especially for young men out there who decide, and I'm not, again, I'm going beyond Charles Matthews here. I'm talking about players in college who decide to make that decision to go to the NBA and then pick after pick after pick after pick goes by where they're sitting there. And there's a little bit of manipulation that happens here, too, in the drafts. I've talked about this over the years as well, where a player, he talks to certain NBA teams and he thinks he's going to go here in the draft. And the next thing you know, last minute, some said organization out there, some said franchise out there decides to go another route. And then that name begins to drop. And the picks go on and on and on.
And what this young man had heard from these teams was that, okay, we're probably going to go with you. You're our guy. But business is business, and the draft can be unpredictable at times, and things change. And then that young man is just sitting there at the table like, wow, what in the world did I do? And another name I think of in this conversation is Michigan State's own Deontay Davis. Is that not what happened to Deontay Davis? And I thought, and much like all of you out there, we all thought that Deontay should have came back after his first year. He wasn't ready. Obviously, he was not ready. And the moment and the story that was told where, you know, his name drops all the way to like the last picks of the second round. I forget even where he went, Connor, but, you know, he had to take a breath and just kind of walk out of the room, go in the hallway, compose himself, and then come back. I mean, he was distraught. And I think it was a combination of Deontay wanting to accomplish that dream so badly, and two, the pressure of some members of the Deontay Davis team, meaning his family and friends, you know, his cousins and aunties and uncles, and they're all in his ear like, hey, you know, it's about that time. It's about that time. And then he gets dropped to the 31st pick of the second round. And you sitting there, I'm sure it was going through Deontay's brain. What in the world did I just do? So why does it have to be? My question is, why does it have to be a one-way street? These are young men. These are still kids in many respects. They really are. You know, when you're 21, 22 years old, you're still figuring out who you are. You're still growing up. You know? So if you make a decision like this, especially for a situation like Charles Matthews, where, you know, he probably was going to be a second-round pick, I think there's possibly still a chance if his agent can convince some teams out there that look at this man's tape, you know, during college, and he's a hard worker, and, you know, if his interviews have gone well, you know, there's still a chance that he may get drafted in the second round, but why can't Charles Matthews reevaluate things because of a torn ACL? You can't predict injuries. Injuries happen. Why can't he say, all right, you know, I want to use that final year of eligibility? Now, I do know this part as well, because I'm sure there's some people out there listening saying, Al, well, that's not fair to Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines, because they also have a job to do. They've got spots to fill in that roster. And they're making decisions right now. You know, you can't just keep that spot open. If Charles Matthews decided to leave, you know, that can't be in hindrance of Juwan Howard, who's looking at his roster and saying, okay, Charles Matthews is gone. Okay, we now have a spot open. I need to recruit somebody who's going to be here next season and help us out. Well, no, why not just extend the deadlines here? That's simple then. If you're going to argue that, why not just push the deadline a week or two out to see what happens after the NBA draft? Is it that hard? Is it really that hard? So I feel for Charles Matthews, you know, something like this where he injures himself working out for the Celtics. And now if you are an NBA team out there, I mean, why would you want to risk that pick? You know, why would you? And again, unless, you know, you take a risk. The stars really have to align for Charles Matthews out there in order for an NBA team to say, you know what, okay, he tore his ACL, but he's a high-character kid. He's a hard worker. Again, this is all in a dream scenario, right? If this is how hopefully they look at Charles this way. He's a hard worker. He's a good kid. He was very consistent and was a key component to this Michigan Wolverines team over the years. Let's take a shot on him. That's in a dream scenario. But if it doesn't work out the way Charles wants it to work out, I have never understood why it has to be a one-way street. Before we hit our first break, Connor, your thoughts on this, man. Are you with me here, or kind of do you side on
on the side of the fence that says, all right, you made this decision, you got to live with it.
See, in a situation like this, I don't know why they don't do something similar to what happens with baseball. Like, a team can be drafted, but you still have the option to go back and kind of sit and wait. And it'd be a win for the college game, and I mean the NBA game, it'd be more risk on their part. But I mean, you know, the other thing too is he was on the fringe of the draft boards I'm seeing. He was like a 60th rank, that kind of stuff. So he was a fringe. So unless these workouts were really good, his chances of getting drafted were already kind of low. So I think this is more of affecting him as in, like, you know, getting a G League contract, things like that. But it does stink. There should be some sort of, like, exception maybe that teams can keep in the back pocket if the college team elects to do so, like a catastrophic injury type deal. But other than that, I thought he would be better off coming back. I mean, the draft projections for him were not mm-hmm. the greatest. So, I mean, he took a chance on himself. In this situation, I think if there was an exception, he should have been offered and given advantage of that. But in this case, he was already chancing it. It was low end, and it's just unfortunate he tore his ACL because he was going to end up in the G League anyway.
Exactly. And you know, I don't – and I can't really speak on just how important these individual workouts are. I would guess they are pretty important because it's not like the NFL Combine. There's so much importance placed on the NFL Combine and your measurements and, you know, how many times can you bench 225 and the 40 time that you run. There's so much emphasis put on it. I mean, there are broadcasts that are dedicated towards it, and everybody watches, right? When it comes to the NBA, you know, I think for the most part, you know, what you see is what you're going to get on the college film. It's basketball. I think basketball is easier to evaluate in game than in just an individual workout. You know what I mean? That's just the nature of the game with hoops. So I don't know how much these workouts, if anything, I think that these NBA execs of certain franchises, they want to see the character of that individual. So if anything, the individual sit downs and the interviews are what really pay dividends. So maybe this is a lesson to some young prospects out there, you know, to really approach those workouts with caution. But again, you just can't. This is such a weird situation,
In the NBA, you have to go into the individual workouts like this is my moment.
If you're fringe.
Even if you're not a fringe, I mean, this is a lot of times NBA teams make their pick, unless it's like a godsend, like, oh, the LeBron
Zion
James,
Williamson.
The Zion Williamson.
Yeah,
those are the clear-cut number ones. But like, if you're everyone else, those workouts are where you sell yourself to a team. And, you know, a couple years ago, you hear stories about players, you know, they don't go to certain teams' individual workouts to try to get off their board, or they do it haphazardly through other ones. The individual workouts in the NBA is huge for them. I think so. That's how a lot of teams edit their draft boards.
From an on-court perspective or an interview perspective, because I think if you're sitting down with a young man, you kind of want to pick his brain to see kind of kid he is.
I think a little bit of both, because you don't necessarily know how a prospect's going to react to an NBA style practice, an NBA style workout. I mean, there are some differences between the NBA and the college game, obviously, and you want to kind of see how they respond to certain situations. And then, you know, the individual aspect of it is important too, but I think individual workouts for the NBA players is a lot more important than it would be for, say, the NFL.
Really? So you're saying the NBA workouts, where teams are bringing in these prospects, are more important potentially than what we see in the NFL Combine?
The NFL Combine is the NFL's, like, this is where you show off. And then there's individual workouts for prospects in the NFL afterwards. So comparing the two,
individual workouts
in the NFL.
To the NFL.
Yeah,
okay,
no,
right.
Individual workouts in the NFL, it's like, okay, yeah, we're trying to get a feel for this guy.
And the NBA has a combine, too.
The NBA has a combine, but it's not nearly as huge. No. Individual workouts are a much bigger deal in the NBA.
Right, okay. Good point there. You know, well, maybe I'm wrong. Again, I just haven't heard a lot of, okay, well, we had an individual workout with this player, and I hear it sometimes where it's like, okay, it shot him up our draft board. I do hear that occasionally, but I don't know how much You know, you can really gain from seeing a player in just a workout. Where I mean, who is he playing against? It's not like he's playing against, you know, some of the top competition in the NBA.
I don't know if he's playing.
It's probably shooting drills.
It's probably some drills, and then the individual interview, kind of getting where their mindset is. But I've heard a lot of times draft night, like there's teams that like. A good example I can think of, the Heat a couple years ago when they took Bam Adebayo. It's like, why are they taking him? Well, he really impresses in the individual stage. And there's a lot. It's you don't hear about it as much because the top prospects in the NBA are so like hammered home. Like, this is the guy. This is the guy you have to take 1, 2, 3. And a lot of people don't pay attention after like picks 5 through 8. And then after that, it's just kind of like, oh, well, this guy went in the first round. And then a couple of years down the road, it's like, oh, who's this player bursting out on the scene kind of deal?
Right.
Where in the NFL, it's like if you're rounds 1 through 3, you're getting pubbed all the time.
All the time. You're getting, you know, you're always in the media. Write-ups are happening, that kind of thing. So interesting. But the point I want to hammer home here is that I don't think it should be a one-way street. I think that Charles Matthews should at least be given a chance to come back to college, even though I know we're 10 days away from the NBA draft. But it would be really unfortunate if this young man does not get drafted. And if he doesn't, I could possibly see him, you know, maybe, you know, after those 9 months, I think an NBA team will take a shot on him. But if not, even if they're still like, okay, he just tore his ACL, we don't want to take a shot on him. He can definitely go overseas and make some cheese. But gosh, this just really, it really turns your stomach. It really does. You got to feel for this young man. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk NBA Finals. Can the Golden State Warriors come back in this series? Can they at least extend this thing one more game? Will they win tonight, or will there be a celebration unlike any other in Toronto? That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I want to transition now into previewing tonight's NBA Finals, Game 5. Really can't believe that the Golden State Warriors are staring at a 3-1 series deficit at the hands of the Toronto Raptors. It's been a combination of things. And, you know, doing some math this morning, throughout the Golden State Warriors dynasty, throughout this incredible stretch run that is pretty special when you look at the history of the association, right? The Golden State Warriors have played 104 extra NBA games when it comes to the postseason. Quite remarkable, right? I mean, that's like a full NBA season and a quarter. It's amazing. 104 extra games when it comes to just the postseason. I mean, when it comes to any team out there, if you talk about 104 extra games, that's eventually got to wear on you, right? I mean, even though it's 2019 and sports medicine is at an all-time high right now, and we are figuring more and more and more out about the human body and how to extend the athletic careers of athletes over time, still, 104 extra games is eventually going to catch up with you. And I think that's what we're seeing here, not to give an excuse as to why the Warriors are staring at this hole. I'm just saying that is a component that is playing out right before our eyes in this year's NBA Finals. And for those that say it isn't, you're fooling yourself. You're playing yourself. I mean, Klay Thompson in the injury that he had. Now, I will say this about Klay's injury. Connor, when you look at the film, this brother was trying to stick his foot out, trying to draw a foul, and Ness on him. It's like, and that's the world we live in today with the NBA, right? I mean, everybody trying to draw a foul. It's the Reggie Miller. I guess, you know, it's not even the NBA has been doing this for years because Reggie Miller is the one that orchestrated this. He was like the master of it, right? Stick your leg out, try and get a foul, go to the line, hit free throws. And Clay was trying to do that.
I hope they change that rule this summer, or at least edit.
I hope they do too, because it's
bad. It's bad. You can't play defense on 3-point shooters.
No, you can't. You just can't. And you know, he was trying to, you know, draw a foul, and he ends up slipping and injures that quad. When it comes to Kevin Durant, I mean, Kevin Durant, that was just a freak injury. I mean, that's just, it happens. You know, and I think, you know, when it comes to the injury report of Kevin Durant, he did practice on Sunday, and he walked out of the arena in Toronto without a noticeable limp. But he did have ice on his calf, and he did have ice on his Achilles. Kevin Durant is going to try and go, I believe, tonight. And the fact that he did practice on Sunday, is a promise of that, I believe. But who knows? I said that Klay Thompson was going to play in that one game after he got injured, and he didn't play. So who knows? Who knows? Haven't seen KD all series, and for those that try to make the argument that this Golden State Warriors team is better without Kevin Durant, shame on you. It's just an idiotic argument. Yeah, they won a few games without him, but looking at what's happened in this series, I mean, we're talking about an all-time great. We're talking about a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. We are talking about a seven-footer who can get his shot off over anybody in NBA history. He's dynamic. He is a game-changer. And they need him. They need him. Playing a Toronto Raptors team that is this deep, that is peppered with this many vets who... Connor, did you look at the film of that last win? You know, you would think that I get probably not from Kawhi Leonard, but you would think that other members of that Toronto Raptors team would have a smile and would at least give a fist pump or show some kind of emotion. But what I saw after the dust settled on that Toronto Raptors win over the Golden State Warriors to take that 3-1 series lead, it looked like to me like the Warriors had just beaten them. Like Toronto had lost that game. They have been so locked in, and it's maturity. These are guys who have played on this stage before. Yeah. Yeah. Ice cold, man. That's right, Andre. They have been locked in. Just locked in. Stoic, businesslike, lunch pail mentality. We got a job to do, and we understand that we're not just playing any team here. We are playing an NBA dynasty in the Golden State Warriors. We still will not be satisfied until we see a 4 in that win column in this series. 3 ain't good enough. Cool, we got a 3-1 series lead. That's all fine and dandy, but we still got more basketball to play. And shout out to Nick Nurse as well. Nick Nurse may be a rookie head coach in the NBA, but this is a guy who has coached the game for a long, long time. And I love the mentality that he has breeded in Toronto. That was, I have to say this as well, that was started, though, with Dwayne Casey, now Detroit Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey. But I'm going to say this. Regardless of whether or not Kevin Durant plays tonight, and heck, the Warriors may win tonight, who knows? This series is over. There is no way that I see the Golden State Warriors coming back and shocking the world like the Cleveland Cavaliers did against them when they had that 3-1 series lead. That's done. That doesn't happen normally in the NBA. And to beat this kind of Toronto Raptors team, I mean, come on. Like I just stated, these guys are so locked in. They are so deep. The chemistry and camaraderie and the basketball mind of Nick Nurse, you really think that the Golden State Warriors can beat this Toronto Raptors team 3 straight games? You are out of your mind. Out of your mind. and to force a game seven, they would have to win two in Toronto. You think they're going to win two? Two straight games in Jurassic Park? I'm sorry, but the dynasty is over. It's a wrap on it. It's been fun to watch. It will go down in history as one of the greatest dynasties we've ever seen. I mean, we're talking about five straight NBA Finals appearances. We're talking about the Chicago Bulls' win record going down. And, by the way, that was the year that they lost that 3-1 series lead in the NBA Finals, right? So, you know, you can argue the value of that season all you want. But still, nonetheless, this has been fun to watch. I don't think Kevin Durant is going to be coming back next season. He's so hypersensitive, and everybody, especially when everybody, you know, tried to make those idiotic takes that this Warriors team is better without him, he responded to a few folks on Twitter, and he knows that in order for his legacy to be complete, in order for his legacy to come full circle and to silence the doubters, he has to go somewhere else and win. Kevin Durant's gone. Klay may stay. I don't know. But this team, this dynasty, it's over, I think. So I think it's over with, Connor. I think that the Warriors are going to win tonight. But come game six, it's going to be finito. And I wouldn't be surprised. I say that in saying this. I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto just finished the deal tonight. I mean, I was listening to some national shows this morning, and they had some fans on out in Toronto, and everybody, I mean, people are lining up right now, not just outside the arena in Jurassic Park, but around the country of Canada at bars and at other little Jurassic Parks that are popping up now. The people of Canada are so ready to celebrate tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they closed the deal tonight, man.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked either. Everyone is kind of like, well, Kevin Durant's going to come back. He's going to lead him. Calm down, first off. Durant is a game-time decision. He's not even cleared to play right now. He is still 50-50. Plus, where all these people, I remember after game two, well, Boogie's going to get a bigger role. Oh, he's coming back off of injury. It doesn't matter. He's been out for however many weeks it's been. Boogie's played bad outside of that game two. He's played bad. It's just
he's not in shape.
He's not in shape.
He's taken all that time off.
He's been injured.
He had a great comeback in that first game that he had, but other than that, I mean, he's out of shape. He hasn't played in a long time. It's hard to find your groove.
Exactly.
And he's injured. So.
Yeah, no. And I feel like that's the same thing that's happening now. You got Kevon Looney. If you watched last game, Kevon Looney is not Kevon Looney. That injury is bad for him.
Yeah.
And he's a big man, and he's hurt in the ribs. He's going to get hit there every time he goes for a rebound, every time he goes for a shot. Klay Thompson was all right. But again, I've always said Klay Thompson is feast or famine on any given playoff game. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is Toronto, outside of game two, have proven that whatever Golden State wants to do in the third quarter, it doesn't matter to them. In the first game, they won an Oracle. Golden State goes on a run. What does Toronto do? They withstand it. They respond. The last game, Toronto didn't even allow a run in the third quarter. So I think Toronto is deeper. They're taking advantage of their depth. I mean, Serge Ibaka looks like it's 2012 again. He's blocking shots. He's hitting his stride.
He was the X factor in that last game. He was brilliant.
Exactly. And he's not playing in a reserved role. He's playing like he is the third member of that big three.
Right.
Kyle Lowry knows his role.
Right.
I mean, maybe the Warriors get something, but I don't see him. I don't see him closing it out.
Even if the Warriors win tonight, they're not winning that next game. Back to back in Toronto.
I'll go as far as to say they could get it to game seven, but I think Toronto outlasts them. They have the depth. Their team is locked in. There's only been one bad game for the Toronto Raptors, and they only lost that game on a freak Iguodala three. Like
exactly. And that's my point, man. I mean, you look at this, and I'm sorry, game six would be in Golden State. So that's the thing, though. You have to win two, though.
You'd have to win two in Toronto.
In game seven in in Toronto, come on, man. Come on, just stop it. So I think the series is over regardless of what happens tonight. Even if Golden State wins, I just don't see the Warriors coming back here and Kevin Durant not being 100%. And also, reading into reports, Connor, reports said that even though Kevin Durant did practice on Sunday, the Warriors weren't even on the court that long, so it wasn't even a full practice. And he actually was the first one to come off the court. Kevin Durant barely went out there. They barely practiced, and he came off the court after a few minutes.
Yeah, they're not going to throw him out there for do fans really think they're going to throw Kevin Durant out there for 35 minutes and tell him to get going? I mean, even last game, after Curry had that 45-minute game, he was tired. He was off. I mean, if your healthiest player, Steph Curry, your healthiest guy right now, can't even do the usual workload of 35 to 40 minutes, what is a guy who's coming off of a couple weeks of injury going to do?
Exactly. I'm totally with you, man. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this current sports with weekend winners. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have a little over 90 seconds left. We close out each and every Monday edition of the show with weekend winners. And for me, I probably got to go with, for me, Connor, when it comes to weekend winners. I want to go with the Eden Rapids softball and baseball teams. They have had such a great year. You know, I mentioned how the Eden Rapids softball team has now repeated as regional champs. Just a big shout out to Eden Rapids baseball and softball. Amazing stuff. And I know Michigan State fans won't like this, but the University of Michigan baseball team making it to the College World Series for the first time since 1984. Absolutely amazing history. You got anything, Connor?
Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he's just been locked in, and his entire personality has rubbed off on the Raptors, and they're just locked in. I think they're gonna take tonight and end it.
Real quick, yay or nay? Is Kawhi Leonard the best player in basketball?
Right now, yeah.
You would say yes.
Yeah.
We'll debate that tomorrow. Awesome stuff. All right, folks. Enjoy the NBA Finals tonight. We'll talk to you Tuesday. Stay dry and be easy, people.